Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast. Today, joined by me and Sips.
We're back.
And Pyrian Flax.
Hello.
We thought it was all over. It's been 2 weeks.
Summer's a tricky one, you know? Summer is a tricky one, yeah. One of those times.
Have you had kids staying with you, or have you managed to get some dad time? Like, what has it been?
Well, they're back at school
what,
now.
What, other so people's kids them? Staying with us?
Did you get other families to, like, take over?
No way. No, we keep it tight. We don't.
You know, we don't live in, like, a Stone Age village. So
No.
We don't just palm off the kids on one of the other families and go hunt mammoth.
Yeah.
We take the kids with us, like any modern mammoth hunting family would.
You're not Siberian nomads either, then? No.
No.
Because, I mean, no. We are.
I'm reading a book about that right now, which is quite interesting. So it's called Sapiens. Have you seen that book, Sapiens? It's quite famous.
It's about
how we got where we are. And it talks about that initial crossing that they made to North America. So that crossing from the Siberian sort of reaches of Asia across the Bering Straits to Alaska, which would have been land at that point because of the ice age and everything. And they got across, and then, of course, it all melted. They couldn't get further south because of glaciers at the time between Alaska and the rest of America. So they were sort of stuck in Alaska in this freezing cold. And they must have been thinking, what kind of choice is this that we've made? But eventually, there must have been some point where there was a generation whose parents had been able to walk across the Bering Straits and their kids then couldn't. There must have come a tipping point where it was like, well, now it's just all sea. When I was a cave lad, we could just walk across. And now, you know, you've got to take these boats and it's getting further and further every year. And
I don't know, though.
That must have been a crazy time.
I saw this thing. I think it depends on how far north you're willing to go. Because I saw this thing kind of recently, and this happened recently, where there was like this tagged fox, or he's a wolf or something, from Sweden, I think. They tagged him with like a GPS thing because they wanted to see where he was going and what he was doing. They were studying this fox,
Arctic fox, and
yeah, wolf, or whatever it was. Anyway, yeah, used to cold climates and stuff. So they put this thing on, and there's no movement. Like, so they're trying to see, you know, is it a seasonal thing? Like, what the, you know, what's he up to? Like, where is he going to go? What's he going to do? Sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, this thing starts moving, and he's like, he's covering miles and miles and miles a day. Like, he's just nonstop moving. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? And he went all the way from Sweden, and he made it like all the way to Western Canada in like a record amount of time. Like, he was like in like Northwestern Canada, like, and all by foot, presumably, because I don't think they can swim or, you know, that much or whatever, but he made it all the way over there. Just like,
I mean, he's in
the space of a couple of weeks, just on
he's
foot,
physically designed
like, whatever.
To cross the Arctic.
Sure, but
I mean, you know, I'm sure animals were migrating, but
sure, but it blows my mind that like that is a thing that they can do.
Yeah.
Like, it's possible for them all on foot to do that. Like, I didn't even think that was possible. Like, I mean, humans could probably do it at a push, you know, with the right gear and stuff like that, but it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Fucking foxes, eh? What? How do they work?
Jeez. I don't know. How do they fucking do it? But I mean, I was thinking, like, that in the book it says that for like tens of thousands of years of human history, we have no record. Like, we don't know what they were like. But they were like, I mean, they were like us mentally and physically. They were as, I mean, the guy makes the point that these guys must have been like the best generation of humans that ever lived. Because if you think about how many skills they have to have, what they have to overcome, how tough they have to be physically and mentally to be able to survive and prosper in that environment with like so many things out there trying to kill them. And a simple infection is going to do for you. Your teeth are going to kill you a lot of the time. You're going to die of any kind of bad fracture is probably going to do you in.
Yeah.
There's just so many different, and all the wildlife out there, you are not the master of your environment at all. There's no help coming, and you've got to keep on the move, traveling. How the fuck? I mean, those people were like superhumans.
Yeah.
I'm just in awe. Like, the more I read about what ancient life must have been like, the more we look down on them as being, which is a very modern idea of looking down on people because they didn't have fucking phones or whatever. But they were amazing. And think of the shit that they had to figure out on their own with no books, no record. They had to say, right, I figured this out. I'm going to tell all of you guys, because when I die of a bison attack, you know, you don't want to lose the last. It's like in RimWorld when you have one guy who can make something and he's gone. The colony's fucked.
It's a slow evolution of adaptation, though, isn't it? Like, the spanning thousands of years, you know, like.
Oh, it's not. It's behavioral evolution, not physical evolution. We didn't evolve from 20,000 years ago, man. We haven't changed much at all.
No, but.
I mean, the only difference is that we're not as tough.
No, but we don't have to be either. And like in other ways, we're tougher, if you know what I mean. Like, but again, like, society's changed massively. Like, everything's changed massively. You know, we are more in control of like our environment and wildlife and all that kind of stuff. Where we weren't before.
The thing is, we've been able to specialize. So
but
now
that
we've it, got
that took a long, long fucking time. Imagine like at first, yeah, it would have been rough. Like, people like living in caves and probably people dying of old age when they're like 15 years old or whatever. But like, slowly over like generations and generations of like learning how to do certain things and doing them well, and then setting up, you know, initial settlements and stuff like that. I think probably once they started creating housing and stuff like that, I think things probably got a lot better.
It was farming, because it meant you could stay in one place. That was the thing. Like, once you can stay in one place, then you have a bit of time, if you like. If you think about, like, the people think of foragers as like they'd have to spend 12 hours a day gathering food, but apparently not. Like, it doesn't take that long to gather the food you need for the day. And, you know,
not just that, there wasn't as many people either. Like, you know, you'd have to spend 12 hours foraging food now because there's like tons of mouths to feed, but back then
it would have
been
like impossible.
Five people, so
yeah. So you gathered what needed. Yeah. You went hunting every few days, and then you were just chilling out.
Yeah.
And it's like, what I always think is, like, we think about the smartest people that ever lived as like Einstein and shit like that, but there must have been an Einstein back then. You know, there would have been geniuses back then, born just the way they are now, who would have been like, I'm gonna figure out this shit, and they would have fucking had like scientific experiments, I guess, that they would have done. Because how else would they have figured this stuff out? Like, we always make out they must have figured it out by accident. They just, we just stumbled upon this brilliant idea. But they must have been, like, fucking scientists and shit, walking about doing caveman science.
I don't know,
science.
Maybe they did. In some cases, they probably did stumble across things that was like, okay, we know how to replicate this, but we don't actually understand it at all. Like,
yeah, I'm not saying they understood the
process.
It's
processes. Just a miracle that it's working. And
but like smoking food, how do you figure that out?
Yeah.
But hanging food over a fire and smoking it will make it last longer.
Again, it's probably just a lot of like trial and error, right? Like,
right,
you know,
but that's what I'm saying. Experiments.
Timmy the chieftain probably accidentally burnt some food and then, you know, didn't want to look bad in front of the village. So he like, oh, maybe if I just like put a bunch of smoke on it, it'll be fine. And then much to everyone's delight. Wow. This smoked haddock tastes fantastic, Timmy. What did you do to it?
It's Timmy the chief.
Just
Timmy. All hail Chief Timmy.
It's nothing, guys. It's nothing. Just a little secret recipe I like to do
just
once
Timmy
in a while.
Magic.
You know?
Let's call it Timmy Magic.
I got guests coming over to my cave every once in a while. I like to smoke some meats for them.
Now go get some rocks and build me a henge. The henge of Timmy.
I think it's a lot. I think it is a lot of dumb luck.
I don't think you're giving him any credit.
There was no formula to it. There was no, you know, there was no like, I don't know, like epitome moments where they're like, hallelujah, we now know how to go forward. Back then, it was just like, does this taste okay? Sure. Okay.
Nah, that's not right.
Smoke the meat again.
Right, but you make it out like they're idiots. That's the whole point, is they're not. They can't be idiots. So how do we get here?
Well,
they just
again,
bumbled
slowly.
Along.
We got here slowly. Like one generation's claim to fame was the wheel, and then nothing happened for like 500 years.
I like the idea that that was like their village.
Well,
their
that's village their 15 sign, minutes.
Like, birthplace of the wheel.
They had a little tourist
And then
thing.
A couple of generations later, it was like, holy shit, Ugg discovered the magic of fire. And then nothing happened for 1,000 years. You know what I mean? It's just that's
yeah, but
just,
that's not because they were stupid. That's because of what they were up against.
They were just
there's no way of writing shit down. No,
they were dumb and lucky.
They were just not dumb and lucky. That's a
dumb and lucky, and they had
it.
Numbers as well. They had other people.
Oh man.
Oh,
I mean,
Ugg killed himself in the magic fire. Okay, Ugg, your turn. They keep trying. You know what I mean?
I was reading this morning.
No.
About mushrooms, right? And
you want to do some mushrooms?
Like, so a lot of mushrooms are, like, I feel like I read this thing and it was a little bit like, we have no, scientists have no idea how bees fly. And I'm like, well,
yeah,
they do, yeah. I mean, and also, like, scientists have understand nothing about how mushrooms grow. And actually, like,
they do.
There's some good evidence to show that, like, the most prized mushroom by, like, culinary chefs is the morel.
Right.
Which is this one which looks like a kind of like a brain. Well, actually, don't take my advice on what it looks like. Basically, it looks like a kind of wrinkly thing with like black on the outside of the wrinkles. It's
I have a whole cabinet filled with morels.
It's very apparently very delicious and like the most prized mushroom, and it's like a multi-million-dollar
industry. It's so prized because it only grows around the inner thigh of Jennifer Lawrence. It's the only place it can be found.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And we're lucky because 2,000 years ago, cavemen were smart enough to put together the Morel Initiative, which made it so that
Lawrence's.
Yeah, they were able to harvest it more efficiently, and they discovered all the ins and outs of it.
Just
so
had a load of naked Jennifer Lawrence out in the woods.
Oh my god, it's my fantasy. Take me back to that time machine.
Anyway, they don't even grow them on farms. They can't be farmed, these morels. So they're like very kind of sought after and prized, and apparently like there's this big community of people, lots of communities around the world who go out and forage and look for them and bring them home and cook them up. But obviously the danger with mushrooms is there's what's called false morels.
There's always a fucking cheat in nature, isn't there? Someone fucking it up for everybody else.
Yeah.
There's ones that look like them, but aren't them. And as a result, like, loads of people die every year eating the wrong fucking mushrooms. Even today. It's 2019. It's not caveman times anymore. And yet people are still dying eating fucking mushrooms from the woods.
All right, so let me ask you this question.
Right.
What's the point in having a false morel?
Fake it till you make it, Flax. That's the answer
to that. Is
that
what
the
morel? This is the fake it till you make it
morel.
You
wanted to say we've changed, P-Flax, since then, but no, we're the fucking same.
Mate,
we're going out into the woods.
What are you saying? That was my exact point, is that they were fucking smart. You've literally taken my point and backed it up.
I helped you.
But no, Sips is saying, oh, they were lucky and stupid. And you're saying, see, people nowadays are lucky and stupid.
Yeah.
We haven't changed.
No, we haven't.
My point is that people nowadays
are probably
not even as smart and as capable as the people back then, because we don't need to be. Like, I'm sure that guy that gathers morels and dies to a morel, he's probably a really good accountant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or one of them is like an amazing fucking dressmaker. Or this person is brilliant at
making buttons.
Wasn't
able to account for his stupidity, though, was he?
Well, I think people assume like two things are going to happen when they eat a mushroom. And let people think that they're going to get like a magic mushroom. Or they think it's going to be like really delicious because they've heard it. So there's this other mushroom called Chicken of the Woods, which is its real name. Not even joking.
Right.
It looks like it's one of those ridgy ones that grows on trees, right?
Right.
It's like in a
oh yeah, those ones. Yeah, they look almost like out of water coral or something like that.
Yeah,
shelves
they
of
do.
Mushrooms.
Or and it apparently grows on like wounds of trees, so it's quite like rare in that sense.
Right.
That you have to like, it's kind of a weird location for a mushroom to grow. And also, honestly, like, apparently, like, if you deep fry it, it just tastes like fried chicken and it's all rubbery and stuff. And I'm like, wow. As to me, that sounds like, that sounds like a good option.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, I've just, for some reason, I think mushrooms are awesome. I want to I want to go out there. It's making me want to go into the woods.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Please don't do this.
Mushrooms are pretty stuff. Amazing. I mean, like, you know that, you know, the corn brand food, you know, like meat-free food.
Yeah.
It's all from microproteins from mushrooms, fungus.
Yeah.
Starts as nothing and they make it into something. It's fucking incredible.
Mycoprotein is like going to save the world. There's this one guy, I think his name is like Paul Stamets, who's done like a TED talk, which we shouldn't get into, but he basically is like the fucking... the Jesus preacher for mushroom, how they're gonna save the world, like
I mean it could solve a lot of food problems for sure.
I'm fully on board. Like, I've eaten a lot of weird stuff, and some of these mushroomy mycoproteiny fakey things sound like taste like as good as
season them. I mean, some of the flavors obviously artificial and whatever, if you're okay with that, but
I've been eating this cheese
tastes
this
fine
week, Sips, which is like coconut oil turned into cheese slices, and it just
tastes like vegan cheese.
It tastes exactly like feet, you know, just like the real cheese taste.
Yeah, I had some vegan cheese while I was in Portugal. We went to this vegan restaurant while we were in Portugal, and it was like you didn't order from the menu. Every day they just had stuff that they made, and you could order as much or as little as you wanted to. So like, you could just, if you wanted to, just order the main course, or you could have like a bunch of like entrees, the main course, and then they had like some other stuff or whatever. So there's like five of us, so we just ordered everything. We ordered two of everything and just shared everything. Fuck me, man, it was so good. Like the vegan cheese, they had like this risotto with like some vegan cheese on it and stuff. You couldn't tell the difference, like super good.
I went to a vegetarian restaurant. It was like a really high-end one, and they soak vegetarian paper in vegan water.
Nice.
And it tastes just like wet paper. It's amazing. Nice. Really does taste, but it's completely vegan.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Well, that's the important thing.
Yeah. Sorry about our pro save a fucking world attitude, P-Flax. Why don't you just headbutt a cow to death and slowly watch it suffocate and then fucking, you know, smother it with your fat ass cheeks until it dies, and then you fucking suckle on its fucking blood out of its neck.
Oh, delicious.
Jesus.
That's how I like them. Terrified.
Me. I mean...
I'm not a bad guy. I don't eat meat that often, but I don't have to explain
you. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on the old pro-vegan agenda. I just hadn't...
That's all right.
I think it's interesting, though. I think it's interesting that they can do this stuff without sort of having to rely on animals or animal byproducts, or even sort of elements of animals' habitats as well. I just think it's amazing that people can come up with these sort of workarounds to very traditional things.
I mean, I'm all for it. Like, I honestly, the more people that don't eat, like, I'm genuinely offended by people that have to eat meat three times a day and have meat as a snack, you know, multiple times a day, and you don't need that much meat, and it is super bad for the environment.
Yeah,
for sure.
It is. It's just not sustainable. There's no long term plan for it. Like we there's no way we can carry on like we are, like consuming the like meat and even farming the way that we do in like 100 years time. Like
I read a thing saying that the wildlife in Britain, we are one of the most sort of wildlife starved countries in Europe, because of the way we farm and pollution and stuff like that, and just changes to the environment that have happened so quickly and haven't considered like native wildlife, that when I think back to being a kid, there were just more animals around. Yeah. Like, I haven't seen a hedgehog in years. I genuinely don't see that many birds, even with my bird table in the summer. It's not like it used to be.
Man, I saw tons of them when I was in the UK in the summer, but unfortunately, all of them were dead on the road.
Yeah, you see a lot of roadkill.
Fuck me, and tons. Just, it's crazy.
All my barbecues that I had this summer, I saw like a couple of wasps. And all right, you don't have to be a fan of wasps, but I hardly see any flies. Like, I'm just saying, there is a genuine...
You got birds, though.
Death. Yeah, but there is a genuine death happening that we're just not noticing. And I do think it is a concern. My problem is, I've got some mates of mine, and they're, like a lot of people, they're sick to death of the sort of environmentalist, what looks like bleating, right? It's never-ending, it's continual, and it's a lot of it has been politicized by the left and the right. But I just say, just look at the science. If you don't want to look at anything else, just look at the science, look at the facts. If you're anti-science, that's not going to work on you. But at least say, all right, I'm gonna look at this from a non-political point of view. Yes, there's a fucking problem. And I personally am with the people who are at least trying to do something about it, than the people saying, that it's not worth it, or we shouldn't, or what about China and stuff like that. Like, I don't think any of that's helpful. Even if you disagree with them politically, if you don't care for that stuff, you've got to look at the reality of it and you've got to do something about it. That's the way I see it.
But like, politics and everything aside, the problem with all of this stuff is that it's happening so gradually that it's never, there's never anything like shocking enough to happen that sort of startles people enough to care. Right.
Yeah. I mean, we need something to happen.
You have so much time to get used to the fact that, hang on, there's no more of this now, or this is a problem, or hang on, I can't buy apples anymore, or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, it's such a gradual thing that happens until you get to a point where lots of shit all of a sudden has happened, and you look back and maybe you'll think, holy fuck, like, how did it get to this point?
Right.
Nobody noticed because it is so gradual. And I think that's why there's a lot of bleeding and people are going on about it and trying to scare people, because people need to be made more aware, because there's so little awareness about it, because again, it's just so gradual. Like, people have much time to get used to this stuff. Like, it's crazy.
Even things like the weather has got, you know, there are a lot more hurricanes, a lot more flooding, a lot more rainfall, stuff like that. Even that is still happening. Like, if they say the temperatures could rise by 1 degree this century, that's a disaster. Scientifically, like, that's a disaster if the average temperatures rise by 1 degree centigrade. But to most people, they're like, fuck it, 1 degree? 2100, I wouldn't be alive, you know? It's like, it's easy to put that from your mind. You're right. If there was a comet that was on a collision course with Earth,
everybody would all of a sudden
people would be doing shit.
Yeah, doing everything they can to help and do this or whatever. But because there's nothing like threatening you and your life like this instant, you know, it's like people just don't give a fuck. They're comfortable or whatever.
I think giving people this info is in fact dangerous. Yeah, because like, if you say, oh, you know, 1 degree hotter, people think, oh, one extra sunny day a year, perfect.
Right.
You know, people don't understand what that means. I think a lot of people do, actually. I think we give a lot of credit, but I think that it's very easy for politicians to be to dismiss it as not a major issue.
Also, if you point to the Arctic and say, look, it's melting, people are like, well, I don't live there. I mean, it feels like a billion miles away.
But I also get that, like, okay, first of all, it's super depressing, right? Super, super depressing.
It is really depressing.
About all this stuff. And the second thing about it is that, like, people have got enough problems in their own lives already to deal with, you know?
Half the time I can't even drain the water out of my bathtub, so, for instance.
It's like,
but then you've got that politician who said, look, if the ice melts, it's already in the water anyway. It's displacement, people. Like, he had an idea that the Arctic was just literally ice, like an ice cube floating at the top of the planet.
Yeah.
Like, that was his theory. Not that the ice is stacked up on land that will then go into the water and raise
the levels. I love it when politicians try and come up with their own science.
I hope that his house is the first one to get completely demolished by flooding.
He lives on a fucking mountain in the middle of the country, I guarantee you.
Yeah,
they're just, please, you know, don't get your fucking whiteboard out and start drawing pictures of ice cubes and saying, look, folks, it's going to be fine. Just trust someone that knows more than you. But they don't. Yeah. They think they know it all. Like, if we're wrong about this, great. I'd love to be proved wrong. I'd love for climate change to be not true.
I think it is depressing to see these billionaire oil executives knowing that they're going to fuck the planet and building their own bunkers in the mountains.
Those are very popular. I've watched a thing about old nuclear silos. So a lot of the nuclear arsenal of the United States, when its time is up or they decommission it or whatever, they've got this huge fucking silo that goes like 10 stories underground and it's built to withstand like a nuclear blast, right? So this thing is fucking... This is the place you want to be, right? If there's any kind of disaster. And what people have done is bought the sites.
I don't know if I want to be in that place, though.
No,
think about it realistically.
It'd
be cool to survive, but fuck me. Imagine going into a bunker with all those assholes and surviving.
Oh, for real.
And then being stuck with them and nobody else.
No, but you're rich enough to just be in there with your family. That's the point.
No. You buy a condo. Like, you don't buy the whole thing. You have, like, an apartment underground, and other people are there, too. Now, what I think is interesting is... And I'd like to see, there was a book or something about this, is what's the society going to be like post-money, which it would be after a disaster?
Garbage.
No one cares if
total
you're a billionaire.
Garbage. Nobody
you're
would
You're living
survive.
In your condo.
People
what
would
are you
kill each
do?
Other instantly.
Yeah, they would. But they're not going to get into your condo. So what is society going to be like inside that condo?
Not worth
when
living
When money doesn't
in.
Matter, how are they going to swing their dicks around and say, well, I'm obviously more important than you because I'm worth $10
billion. Yeah.
$10 billion what? May as well be 10 billion rocks at this point. No one gives a shit,
dude. If there's a nuclear war, I am I'm ready to die. I do not want to survive a nuclear war.
I want to die in the blast. Initial blast.
Same, me too. I want to be just absolutely pulverized into
another dimension. Up, flash of light. I go, ah, bang, dead.
Not even. Like I just want it. I just want to be like, oh, what was that noise? And then dead. You know, like, I don't want to survive that because it's not going to be Fallout. It's not going to be. It's not going to be cool like garbage towns and stuff. It's just going to be a lot of weirdos who all of a sudden have nothing and can't control anybody anymore. There's going to be a lot of like really dark shit that happens and they'll all kill each other, basically.
Yeah, it'll be horrendous.
I mean, I feel like as rational adults, we definitely, and surrounded by media, which does show us all of this quite dark stuff, we do have like, and I get this a lot when I watch, because I also watch a lot of murder stuff and detective stuff.
Hey, did you watch Mindhunter season two?
Series two, very good. Very good.
Fuck me, man. The rabbit holes that show has sent me on, no thanks.
I didn't realize that was a real case either.
They all is real. It's all real.
Yeah. Sorry, Lewis.
The reality is that mass murderers and things like this are actually very rare. Happen every day and certainly don't happen in certain countries almost at all ever.
Yeah.
You know, and so We get into this idea and we build up this fear that, you know, people are dark and evil when in fact it's the opposite. I think that people often, you know, don't want to take other people's stuff or kill other people or hurt other people. We want to work with other people to live happily and work together. I think that's how humanity really has come from the found, you know, from the caveman.
Most people are basically decent people. Even if they're assholes on internet forums or Twitter, they're not murderers. They're not going to steal your shit. There are assholes out there. But I feel like the reason it affects people so deeply when something gets stolen or they get beaten up or God forbid someone in their family gets killed or whatever, it affects you because it's not typical. In this country, at least. I mean, there are countries where it is fairly commonplace, but even then the murder rate it looks terrifying.
But here's the thing.
But it's like 20 people per 100,000 or something is
individuals
high, right?
Are nice, I think, in general. I think some places, some places have higher homicide rates. And I think it's certainly countries like Brazil and Mexico are pretty dangerous places to live, as far as I know. And some other countries that are less kind of have big infrastructure. You know, the more wild the country is and the more sort of back kind of countryside, I think the more rural it is, actually some ways the worse it is. But no, like I was thinking, it's not like, I think that people, while people are good, like inherently I believe that they're good, I think that corporations and these sort of profit driven businesses are bad. I mean, I guess like one of the reasons I sort of became a vegetarian, the sort of vegan thing in the first place was partly because I started to become frustrated with the idea of industrialized production of things, like, and how it was just on such a vast scale that it felt like all it was doing was just poisoning the world. I guess like a caveman, I don't have a problem with a caveman shooting an animal and then taking it home and cooking it and eating it, because that's not done on an industrial scale. You know, he's not burning down an entire forest, storing it all, turning it all to cattle fields and then mass putting those through a massive slaughterhouse, putting them all into patties and eating one of them
every six hours, organized factory style life comes in, food comes out that you find unsettling.
Not more than unsettling, I think it's away from nature and they're like almost like just looking at the sheer amount of pollution going into the oceans and how they're being so fucked. Like, I started to become, because I read a thing which said you shouldn't eat more than one portion of fish a week because of the amount of mercury in it. And I kind of believe, I don't know if it's true, but I believed it. And I felt like, you know, literally that's the situation we've got to, that there's that much poison in fish that you can't eat more than one a week. And it was the same with other sort of industrial things. And I was just like, fuck, you know, even like growing vegetables, you know, with the amount of fertilizers and pesticides and all the shit on there, it's like, where do you turn? It feels very depressing and very I don't know whether I'm going mad, like, and this kind of a
no there's a lot of people who feel the same way who are you know, there's big movements towards more sustainable, more sensible things, but it's a very slow process because there's a lot of people who fight against it. They
I'm
don't
sure
want anything to change.
The cheese that I'm eating, the coconut oil, is probably coming from some terrible source thing where, you know, et cetera. I'm sure everything I'm doing is, I'm sure I'm doing plenty of things that are absolutely terrible for the environment.
Well, funnily enough, it probably isn't, though, because it's not being mass produced, and that's the problem. When stuff starts becoming mass produced, that's when a lot of the issues arise.
You don't think cheese is mass produced?
Cheese made with coconut oil is not mass produced, I can guarantee you. Okay?
I disagree. Anything that you can buy in a shop is mass produced.
Mass produced? Nah. A lot of this stuff is just like they get a crate of it, and maybe 10 other stores get a crate of it as well, and it sits on the shelf for like years. Like when I used to work at the grocery store, there was always shit like that. There was like, you'd get like these like tins of, I don't know, something like that, you know, like cheese made of coconut oil or whatever, and it looked great, and like one yoga mom would buy it like once a decade basically.
That's me now.
He's the yoga mom. By the way, the murder rate in England and Wales last, so 2017, there were a total of 726 murders in the whole of England and Wales for a rate of 1.2 murders per 100,000 people, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Actually, that's more than I thought.
Man.
Pretty good odds, I'd say.
So listen, the list of American serial killers is a doozy if you ever look it up.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Oh my
there's
God.
There's a lot of them.
And they sort of peak in the 80s, the 70s and the 80s. And I think that's, it's attributed to the fact that back then, fiber samples, DNA testing, all that stuff wasn't really big. You know, it was it was still not trusted. They still used a lot of like lie detector tests that were admissible, which aren't anymore and stuff like that. So like forensic science has come a long way since. It's led to them catching people
early, right?
Before they become serial killers. So
you sometimes
serial
wonder...
killing is on the decline, but nowadays it is interesting. Mass shootings are on the rise.
So you don't catch those guys after the fact,
but they follow the same patterns as serial killers.
Yeah.
Serial killers are normally like have mental issues, right? Like they start to like isolate themselves from people, society. They plan all this stuff long in advance. They fantasize about things.
Yeah.
And I think mass shootings follow the same thought processes, right? There's
and
a lot
also,
of
also they look for attention, like it's a fame thing.
They manipulate sort of, the media famous. And they try to make law enforcement look useless and stupid and stuff.
I mean, look at that guy that what was his name? He's like an incel hero. He was that guy that shot those girls. He was English American. I can't remember his name. Yeah, they like fucking memorialize this guy. I don't want to say his name. I can't even remember it. Who fucking cares? He did a vlog. He did vlogs before he did it, saying he was going to do it, and then he did it.
Crazy.
And it's like that's the same kind of shit as like the, you know, the serial killers sending in letters to the press, like mocking them. They love it. It's all a massive ego thing. It's just crazy, man. It's crazy. Oh, I've got a new prison thing. Talking about serial killers, this reminds me. So there's a TV show at the moment in the UK on Channel 4 called Crime and Punishment, and it's about Winchester Prison, which is apparently a shithole. Like, we spend a lot of money.
Oh, is that old Victorian prison?
It's like a lot of them. It's falling apart, right?
Yeah,
it's like horribly understaffed. If this was Prison Architect, there'd be blood on the floor like permanently. It's super bad.
Nice.
And the staff morale is rock bottom.
How much jugging occurs there, out of interest?
Well, they haven't mentioned jugging, but there is a new one that I saw called potting.
Oh, right. All right? Sounds bad.
And that's where you get your poo and wee pot and chuck it on people.
Right.
And this
That's a very British thing to have.
I'm sure it happens everywhere. But
very
this
old
is,
school.
Yeah, it is. But
prison,
so they'll
a prison pot.
At slop out time, they're carrying their bucket, and instead of taking their bucket to the place they're meant to tip it, they'll just see a prison guard and just pot them. Get potted.
Oh my God.
And they're like, oh my God. And they get all kinds of eye infections and
Man,
shit.
Man, we're
like
gonna need another tier of Patreon now.
We need a pot.
We need a pot now too.
I think there should be a punishment. I think if you get potted, you should get jugged in return. Yeah. Oh, no, that just leads to more a cycle.
It's a cycle of jugging
cycle
and potting.
Of hate.
Yeah.
How do you solve that?
I think it should be a trap. I think if you get caught jugging or potting.
No, hugging. We do potting, jugging, hugging. That's the one. Honestly.
Potting,
hugging. We
jugging.
Have a hugging tier on Triforce. We don't actually hug you, obviously. But we can send you a self-hugging device. some kind of inflatable, fluffy thing that has arms, and you sort of hug it and it hugs you back.
I think, okay, I think if you get caught jugging or potting while you're in jail, I think your sentence should be extended to life. Like just automatically.
Even worse.
You couldn't help yourself, could you, Billy? You just couldn't help it, could you? You just had to jug him. Well, now you're in jail for life. Hope you're happy.
You know those industrial grinders they use to like cook, make sausages out of old meat and stuff? Yeah. I reckon what we do is we get like a camera. Okay, this is going to be a very dystopian and dark suggestion. There's a camera, okay? And so anytime anyone's caught potting anyone, right, they get, that's the camera feed is like put, uploaded to like a little panel of judges, okay? And they have to all unanimously agree that he definitely did it. They got it on their camera. He definitely did potting. That was it. They're like, bam, they press the button, and that prisoner just gets, the bottom of his cell opens up like a trapdoor.
Oh, my God. Like something out of Cube.
Down a slide. They just... into a grinder, instant death.
Jesus Christ.
I don't think you want to do it instantly. You want it to be a slow grind.
Slow.
Very slow. An old lady shuffles in, spits on her hands, and starts cranking the foot, the, you know, your feet.
And how about also all the other pee and poo in the prison goes into the same grinder?
It's getting poured on top of you while you're being the sausage.
I created this in Dwarf Fortress at some point, I'm sure. This is definitely something that's happened.
So, Lewis, from that conversation, I can guess rehabilitation not really something you're looking
for. I'm not a fan of capital punishment.
I don't know. I don't understand how prison is meant to rehabilitate people, because I think going to prison is so fucking awful and traumatic in itself.
Well,
I don't think anyone comes out of prison the same person that they went into. And I guess that's kind of the point, but I don't see that as a positive. I think
Right. But we have very bad prisons. Like our approach to crime and punishment is very, very sort of Victorian and everything that was before it, which is you did something you are a bad person. We are now going to grind you up into a sausage while pouring pee and poo on your head. Right?
That's kind of what prisons do. Yeah. Like they're not capital punishment, but they are like they fuck you up.
Like the idea is it's meant to be so unpleasant that you say, I won't break the law because I'm going to do a formula on my head that says crime plus payoff minus time in prison plus horror of prison.
I always think of that old dude.
And the result should be something negative, so you go, oh, well, then I won't do it. But that's not really the way crime works, because it doesn't really matter how fucking bad the prisons are. We've tested this theory, because there are plenty of prisons in the world that were fucking horrible. Like, there are ones in America that are awful. There are ones in South America that are like murder camps. People still break the law. So prison is not a deterrent. You either look at it from a deterrent perspective, which is we'll have more guns on the street and more cops and beat people up more and feed them in the sausage grinder. Or we say, why is this person breaking the law? What is broken about them? Can we fix it? And if not, then we can obviously lock them up. But I don't know. If you look at some countries in the world, they're testing out this kind of more progressive theory of prison. I don't know if it's working for them. I'd need to read up about it. But
you hear about it. You hear about it a lot in places like Sweden.
And Norway, and I think, has got some very nice prisons and stuff like
that. They have these kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, like you hear about them.
You hear about these places, but they're very sort of like... You know, Norway, for example, okay? You always hear that they have like great social systems. They have great like prisons. They got great everything and stuff. But it's just a really boring place. Like nothing really happens there anyway. So it's like,
so you're thinking,
I imagine all their prisons are just empty.
Right.
So you're thinking better to have a more exciting and interesting society and terrifying prisoners and horrible prisons. It keeps things interesting.
Man, if you didn't have all that though, you wouldn't have shows like Mindhunter and like you
that's
wouldn't
true. You wouldn't
the media would suffer.
Think of the TV shows.
It would suffer.
You wouldn't have the TV show Crime and Punishment.
Exactly.
Behind bars.
Because there wouldn't be any crime or punishment. Yeah.
Oh, it'll be the worst.
In Norway, there's none, probably. So their TV shows are probably just like, it's probably just nonstop cooking shows.
Their detective shows are things like, Mrs. Plubel's pie was stolen from her windowsill. We must find out who stole the pie.
Where did Whiskers the cat end up? Oh,
it's in the tree. That's the theme tune.
Oh, it's a cold case. It's gone. The case has gone cold. We can't find Whiskers the cat.
The case has gone cold.
We can't find
I'm
a trace of him.
They're all cold cases.
We put a GPS on him and he's in Alaska now. How did that happen?
They're all cold cases. Brilliant. Oh, that was such a good joke.
fuck's sake. Hey, listen, I got something to share with you guys, okay? I just got an email from my favorite games publisher, Playway SA. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
No, not heard of them.
They're responsible for one of your favorites, Flax, U-Boat.
Oh, yeah, I love that
and,
game.
And they also do, they also publish House Flipper and Train Station Renovation Manager and Junkyard Simulator and hold all on, these fucking hold on. Fantastic games.
Hold on one second, just before you finish that. Train Station Renovation Manager, is that an actual game?
It's coming out. I don't know when. I've been waiting for it for a long time.
So all you're doing is renovating train stations. That's literally the game.
People love that shit.
And then you get to repaint the trains and stuff and get it back up and running. Yeah? Fuck yeah.
Jesus.
Sounds awesome.
All right, sorry. Continue. You know what,
though? Anyway.
Very satisfying.
Playway SA have just sent me a key for a game called, are you ready?
Yep.
Radio Commander. All right?
Okay.
Okay. Are you interested a little bit?
I think I've heard of this. Okay. I think I've heard of it. Carry on.
We would like to offer you an exclusive access to Radio Commander, a realistic real-time strategy game set during the Vietnam War!
Yeah.
Use the radio to give commands to the soldiers on the battlefield. Keep track of the situation based on their voice reports only.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for this.
Does that not sound fucking awesome? Holy shit.
That does sound really good.
That sounds
great.
They
call up and say things like, man. Sir, it's an ambush! There's a...
Sir, we're catching a lot of shit down here, sir!
Goddamn tutor! We need fire support now, goddammit! Now!
We're eating a mountain of shit down here, sir!
All right, soldier, keep it together. Call in the fire mission.
It's always the voice cracking guy, isn't it? Sir, we're drinking a milkshake full of shit down here, sir. They're everywhere.
Police up your shit. They always say that. Police. Police up your shit, private. Give me those goddamn coordinates. Come on.
I'm gonna play the fuck out of this game.
Yes, I'm very excited about this game now.
Oh man, so exciting. Guys, I also have some more exciting news for you. Guess what is back?
Rust?
That's right. The Apprentice has started.
Oh, The Apprentice.
Again, this week it started.
Fucking you kidding me? Is that even... I feel like we've shaken it.
Okay, they went to South Africa. One team had to do a safari, okay? And the other team had to do a luxury wine tasting day thing. And, oh, it was fucking so cringe. Jesus Christ. I can't get through an episode of it. I have to close my eyes and stuff. It's crazy. Like, oh.
Maybe don't watch it. I don't know. I'm just throwing this theory out there. Maybe don't watch it.
It's like a sick fascination, though. Like, sometimes you just want to see what happens, but it was pretty bad. Pretty bad. They pick them.
I've been doing school visits for secondary school.
Oh, nice.
Because my eldest is in year six. She's going to be moving up to secondary school next year.
Holy shit. I haven't
been inside like a secondary school since I was in secondary school. Like I have no idea what they're like nowadays. All I remember is what my school was like in the 80s and the early 90s. And it was a fucking dump. It was like one of the best schools in Bournemouth and it was a dump.
Yeah.
So now they've got like Chromebooks in the computer lab. And they're like, their art area is like beautiful. They've got like a wonderful theater. They have, it's just everything. Like, it's obviously, this is a nice area. So the schools are reasonably well funded, I hope. But it's just, I just couldn't fucking believe it. It blew my mind. I was like, this school is amazing. And they've got like counselors on hand. Cause you think about it, being a teenager fucking sucks. You can't always go to your parents with what you've got to worry about. So they've got school counselors full time working at the school. You go in. I'm really upset because I've got this downy hair coming through my chest. I don't know what's happening, you know, that kind of shit. And they're there to talk to you about it. I mean, it's like
the oceans are all full of poison. And the atmosphere is all going to be ruined.
I can only eat fish once a week because of the mercury levels.
I'm really weak from mercury.
Fuck's sake.
I ate some fucking mushrooms in the woods and I've been shitting for 4 days now. I don't want to tell anyone.
And everyone's transparent.
I don't know
Help
if it
me,
was
please.
Real morale. I think it might have been the fake shit.
But they're there. I mean, we joke about it, but I would have fucking, I could have used some of that shit at school.
That would have been really useful. Yeah, there's all sorts of shit you fucking have to deal
but
with.
But one of the schools we went to, teenager. We sat in on the talk where they had the headmistress gave up a talk and then the head boy and the head girl said, you know, our school's awesome. And I thought, well, you know, for you guys it is because you get to be the head boy and the head girl and you're like celebrities in the school or whatever, but fine. So I listened to their little talk and afterwards the head boy came up to me and said, are you Pyrian? And I was like, yes, I am. And I know the head boy at a school. So that's a celeb that I know.
Wow, I would never admit to that, but sure, go for it.
Why wouldn't you admit to that? He was a cool kid.
That could come back and bite you in the ass.
In what way?
I don't know. I don't think you should associate with boys, is all I'm saying.
Right. Especially not head
boys. He was the kind of young guy that I thought, this guy's far more together and organized than I've been in my entire life.
I'm just joking.
And he's like 16 or whatever. It just blew my mind.
I'm just yanking your crank. Fuck porn, by the way. He's a nice guy. The minute you mentioned headmistress, all I could picture in my mind was somebody saying, you've been a very naughty daddy. You've been a very naughty daddy. Fuck porn, man. Like, what the hell?
I think you're the problem.
I am, yeah.
It's ruined you.
It has.
So, okay, first of all, did you actually go around any schools? Have you been around?
Yeah.
Did it bring back any memories at all?
Did it,
the smell of it or, like, the feel of it, walking around?
The smell
like,
of school's yeah. gross, eh?
It was not good.
Jeez.
It was smelled like some of the rooms we walked in, I was like, damn, it smells like feet in here. Like, it really does.
This fucking smells like ass in here.
It's, like, full of teenagers.
It smells
like
somebody's fucking ass. Gross.
Please, sir, wait until the talk is finished. Questions at the end.
You're just blurting it out.
Smells like ass in here. God damn it.
What kind of fucking Mickey Mouse operation are you assholes running?
So the questions at the end.
Some fire support. Stink.
Smells like ass, guys.
Come on, everybody.
Like
smells like ass.
Ass.
Smells like ass. Smells like ass.
You just and regressed. The children will now take you on the tour of the school. Don't send any of their ass smelling kids, goddammit.
My kid's not going to spend any time in maths with that ass, you smelling kid. Oh, fuck's sake.
But yeah, so we did the tour. Like we were in little groups, like three or four parents, and then two of the students would take you on the tour. And they were like 13 or whatever. And I was like, damn, when I was 13, I'm sure I could barely speak. But they were like, this way is the science lab, and this is what we get taught, and these are our teachers. And they were like properly showing us around. I was super impressed. I was like, you know what, kids? Well fucking done.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Job kids.
They were really, really impressively mature.
Jeez.
I was very surprised. I mean, if that had been me, I would have thought, great, no school this morning. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And done as little as possible. But they really tried. It was very sweet. And their schools were very impressive. Did take me back to how shit my school was. But I said to the lads that took us around, I said, right, boys, here's a question, because we're next to the chemistry lab. Do you guys still turn on the Bunsen burner and let enough gas out so it creates like a cloud of gas and then light it with a taper and blast your mates up? And they were like, oh, yeah. I was like, yes.
No, they don't.
Of course they do.
I don't do that.
That's what you
That's
do.
That's so dangerous.
It's great.
What do you mean? Do you let all the gas out and then burn your mates?
Yeah.
What kind of a
You let it out.
Mad thing is that?
It sits on the desk. Like, it creeps around like a little invisible cloud. You turn off the gas and you put a taper near it. It goes, whoom, like that. And it sets, and she goes like, scares the shit out of people. We used to do that all the time. I was like, the whole point of chemistry.
Real trouble for that.
No.
That's how you end up with gas explosions.
No.
Oh.
It was fine. I'm sure there's a safety system in place.
Totally safe.
They wouldn't give the kids gas and fire if they couldn't control the situation, I'm sure.
Oh.
And sometimes when we were leaving the chemistry lab, you leave all the gas taps on and then run out. That was the other thing we did.
Christ.
Oh my God, head boy.
I was
head
not
That's a
head
very British
boy.
Thing.
Definitely
That's
not.
No, oh, I wasn't.
That's not how you get. Were you ever a prefect or anything? Were you like ever?
No, fuck no.
Oh no, you went to school in America, didn't you?
Only till I was 8.
Oh, right.
I mean, over here, impact. I'm talking about the schools over here. I mean, they don't give the kids fire and gas in the States that I know of, I would assume. They just give them, you know, give guns and stuff. But over here,
right.
They had prefects and all that shit. They were always the wankers. You know what I mean? Like, the absolute wankers.
Yeah.
They call them hall monitors in the States.
Yeah. Those are the guys that grow up to use the ice cube analogies to describe global warming, by the way.
Yeah, seriously.
Those are the same guys. So once an asshole,
then
always
you're
an
so
asshole,
right.
Basically. If you detect that someone's an asshole at school, 100% guaranteed that person will still be an asshole as an adult. Even worse, actually.
I'm probably in a position of power.
Yeah, so always bear that one in mind, too.
I do. I'm going to Google it. There was a kid at my school who was an absolute twat. I wonder what he's up to.
It's nice. That's what Facebook's for, isn't it?
Just
to go on there and see the kids of all of your schoolmates.
Yeah, see how well everybody has done. Make you feel bad about yourself. Oh, shit. Looks like Mandy went on and met some other stud and had 5 kids.
Yeah, that's pretty
she looks
much
really
what
happy.
It is.
Guess I wasn't good enough for that party one time.
Unlucky. I'm gonna find this.
Do you guys know anybody that you went to school with who is in currently serving time in jail?
Probably, but I don't know like the people that I know. But I know people that I'm almost certain. I was at school with Gareth Malone, you know, from the choir and all that shit.
No.
You never heard of Gareth Malone?
No.
He's kind of a big deal. He's you see him everywhere conducting fucking choirs and shit. He's that guy.
I went to school with a guy who was implicated in September 11th stuff. He was like,
Jesus.
He was arrested shortly after, something to do with it. I don't know how involved. I can't imagine super involved, but he went to my high school and he was arrested. Wow. As far as I know, he's still in jail, I think. Jeez. But that's the only person. A guy I went to school with died in a car crash as well. That's one of the only people I know from school who's actually died as well.
Good Lord.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, you go to school with a ton of people.
Yeah.
On average, you would expect some of them to do either exceedingly well and some people to end up just in, like,
killers.
These hopeless situations or whatever. But for the most part, as far as I can tell, most people just are pretty average, you know? They've
I think that's
averaged
it.
Out.
I think that is it. That 1 in 100,000 murder rate, you know, and even then, some of those, I'm sure, are going to be pretty unusual circumstances, you know. You know, sometimes I get very angry and, you know, really want to just strangle someone. But, you know, I could see it happening, you know, if it really got out of control.
You want to kill somebody, Lewis?
Do you wet your bed
push
often?
push him in a canal?
Have you ever wet your bed before, like as an adult?
I pooed a bed.
Right. Nice. Did you wake up? And had the poo completely exited your ass and was just like lying delicately beside you on the bed? Or did you wake up with just shit all up in your ass crack? Like, and a bit on the bed as well.
The second one, yeah.
Right. Nice.
Holy shit. So you know Anna Kendrick? You know the actress Anna Kendrick?
No.
Oh, vaguely.
Okay. All the fucking people watching this podcast will know who Anna Kendrick is, I bet. Well, 99% of them. She's an actress. She's pretty famous.
Right.
She is currently dating my friend Ben Richardson,
right,
who was like one of my best friends growing up.
Right.
We used to play Blood Bowl and fucking Warhammer games and stuff. I'd paint miniatures, ran to his house all the fucking time. She's dating Ben. Go, Ben.
Wow. Congrats, Ben.
Wow.
Well done.
I'm so impressed.
You think he listens to this?
Fuck no, dude. He lives in Hollywood. He's like a movie director. He's a cinematographer or some shit.
Yeah, but he's still got to have like a bit of downtime, you know?
There's no way.
No?
There's no way he listens to this podcast. I guarantee you. Oh. Dude's living the LA lifestyle, dating Anna Kendrick. What do you think he's going to fucking listen to the Triforce podcast? Yeah. Pull the other one.
Man, there's no accounting for bad taste. Eh?
But so from that, I did theater studies A-level with Ben and with Gareth Malone.
All right.
Right? So Ben is dating Anna Kendrick and living in Hollywood and being a cinematographer.
Right.
Gareth Malone is like multi-millionaire director of the choir and all this kind of shit. I've got a podcast.
Hey, are you happy?
No, I'm miserable.
Well, maybe,
I want to be
maybe you just
living
need to
in Hollywood.
You might need to reevaluate your life then. I thought you were going to say, yeah, I'm happy. And I was going to say, well, that's the main thing. Who cares what you're doing?
I'm very happy.
Good.
Mrs. F listens to the podcast. I'm very happy.
Well, there you go. My wife doesn't. So the other day, there I was.
Miserable.
there I was the other day streaming, okay? And I thought to myself, I didn't vocalize this, but I thought to myself, man, I could really go for a brew. Like, I could really go for a tea or whatever. And then 2 seconds later, my wife walks into the garage and she's got a cup of tea for me. I was like, holy fuck. Like, were you watching the stream? Could you just tell, like, by the look on my face that I needed tea? And she's like, no. So, oh, okay.
I didn't watch that shit.
Yeah. And I was a little bit disappointed. But then I thought to myself, it's kind of cool that she could just sense out there, like in the force or something, that I want tea and bring tea.
She just thought, I wonder if my husband would like some tea.
Why isn't she watching my stream at the same time, you know?
She could sub. Right. That's all he's saying. Yeah. You know, tea is nice, but
she could sub. Or even just a follow. She could smash that bell, like, you know. Yeah. It doesn't cost a cent.
Smash the fucking bell, would you?
Leave a like. It doesn't cost
Mrs.
her anything.
Mrs. F brought me a toasted cheese and ham sandwich of the day. She don't watch the stream. She ain't subbed.
She got her Amazon Prime just sitting there. Why doesn't she just, you know, drop that Prime?
Yeah, why doesn't she just fucking drop that Prime? Crazy.
Because otherwise, she's scared to waste. Yeah.
To be fair, it's my Prime account, so it wouldn't really be.
Prime myself. Fuck, can I prime myself?
I prime myself most evenings.
No, this is a serious question. Can you prime yourself? I'm going to fucking prime myself right now.
Yeah, you can.
You can do it, mate.
Why wouldn't you be able to?
Because it's an extra sub, man. Jeez.
I can double my sub count right now. You're right.
Yeah. It's, yeah. It's, Flax can double up.
My, I would say, Because, okay, I know where you live, and I know how your dad garage is.
This is very,
that sounded
very
more aggressive than
yeah.
I intended.
This is very threatening.
So, you look out at your house, okay?
In
from
fact,
the garage.
You can see, I know what you're wearing
you
right now.
You can see the house.
So, guess where I am.
So, when your wife brought you a cup of tea, did you subconsciously in the corner of your eye see her bringing it out the window, and then she knocks on the door? Or did you see her come out of the house?
I saw
house
her come out of the house with it.
Okay.
Two minutes after the thought entered my mind, I was like,
wait, your garage,
okay. It's now 2 minutes.
Your garage is detached from the house?
Yep.
Oh my God.
And I have a big window that I can see the house from, so I can see people coming and going.
Wow.
Like, for instance, yesterday, here I was streaming. I look outside and there's a stranger at my door, okay? Knocking on the side door of all doors, right? Like, normally people knock at the front door.
Weird.
So she's at the side door knocking. So I look and I see my wife come to the door, and I can tell by my wife's expression that she's like, what the fuck is this person doing here? That was that kind of expression.
At the side door.
And then, so the door opens and I see them like talking or whatever. Next thing I see my wife handing her a chair from our kitchen. What the fuck? And then my wife does this thing. She thinks I can understand what she's saying by like doing like this weird like not
like a semaphore.
Like, yeah, kind of like using gestures and like not talking, but I'm meant to like read her lips or something.
Yeah.
So she's trying to explain what turned out to be like quite a complex situation
via
like
lip reading.
Yeah. So I'm just sitting here like, what? Like, I didn't know. Like,
are you streaming at the moment with like your jaw just like
I was
slack?
Shrugging a lot, like, and shaking
right,
my head.
Right.
Anyway, so finally I was like, all right, stream. I got to just take a quick break and go see what's going on. So I go in, and she's like, and there's like fucking three ambulances like outside of my house. And she's like, oh, yeah, as our neighbor, there's an old man just like collapsed outside by the road, and she had to phone the paramedics, and she wanted to borrow a chair so he could sit on it because apparently he had like heart problems or whatever. I was like, oh, okay, great. And then she brought the chair back, and I think he's okay. He had to be taken to hospital and stuff. But had it not been for that window, I wouldn't have known any of this was going on. I would have been blissfully unaware. I would have been in here. I wouldn't have known about the collapse, the loan of my kitchen chair, nothing.
It's all the goodness of strangers, people helping out each other.
That's
people.
That's crazy, isn't
someone
it?
Some poorly guy on the
you
street.
You say that,
checking
but
if he's
the
okay.
Other week, some travelers turned up on the park.
Did they ask if they
angle
were okay?
Angle grinded their way into the park. They cut the gate open with an angle grinder. 10 caravans turned up, rocked up, parked up. All the people in their cars are doing donuts on the grass. If one of them in one caravan wants to go see someone in another, they drive there across the grass, spinning their wheels. Tire tracks everywhere. They stole all the chickens from the local allotment.
Oh, Jesus.
And the police were like, get the fuck out of here. You guys have 48 hours. And they were like, fine. And they got the chickens back and they cussed out everybody that they saw. And they were fucking horrible.
Jeez.
They were really the least friendly people you've ever met.
Man.
And then
put them in the grinder.
Grinder! Yeah.
Drop poo and pee on them and
pee poo sausage grinder. Pee poo sausage grinder now.
Fuck me, man. Jesus Christ. Well, anyway, I'm out of stories, guys. I mean, it's been 2 weeks, so a lot of stuff has accumulated, but I've fully blown my load now.
No, that's
that
was
everything.
Some extreme thrusting.
That's all I have.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think it was great. I don't see any problems with it. I think it was
yeah. Solid.
I think we always do a review of the podcast when we've just finished it.
Yeah,
it's like a quick Google review.
Well, thanks for listening to that. Looking back, pretty mediocre, really. It'd be a miracle if this one gets published. But if you are listening to this, we appreciate it. Look out for our new pee and poo pots on the Patreon as well. They'll be branded. So if you want to...
Don't actually use them for pee and poo. Because they're not waterproof and they will collapse on you.
Yeah. You know what Terry did today? He climbed up onto his house and dropped a big one on top of his house. So when I came in this morning, he wasn't on his house anymore, looking at me with like this glint in his eye. It's like, Terry, what's going on? Look over at his house. There's just a massive pile of shit on top of his house. He just like...
That's a dirty protest.
Dropped a huge one. Yeah. So maybe he's dirty protesting. Yeah.
If you could do that. You probably would, though, right?
What, shit on your own roof?
just casually climb up onto your own house and take a big shit in front of everyone.
Yeah, but you don't have an owner who's going to clean it up, Lewis. There's just going to be a shit on your roof.
Did I tell you guys about when I went to Canada and I smoked some weed, like in April when I was back for like a week? I smoked some weed and I tried to tell people the story about my friend who shit in a margarine container and was opening it very slightly in the car, and everybody was like almost barfing. It stunk so much. Anyway, jeez. I tried to tell that story and I could not stop laughing. Like, it was so fucking funny. I don't know what it is about shit. It just absolutely slays me.
It's not about shit. It's about weed.
Well, that just had a part to do with it. But man, I had the giggles so hard I couldn't even speak. It was just like, I was crying. It was nuts.
Oh, man.
But fuck me, it was so funny when that happened. Like, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, but if somebody has shit in a margarine container and it's sealed closed, and they open it even just slightly in an enclosed car.
Good lord, that's a smell.
That is a smell.
And on that bombshell, well, I think that is this week's podcast.
Thank you for one. Bloody hell. All right. We'll be back next week.
See you guys later. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Goodbye.